Welcome to Authors First on the Artist First World Radio Network, artistfirst.com. Tony Kay in the studio. Thanks a lot for joining us, everyone, worldwide. All broadcasts available free on demand. Be sure to consult the artistfirst.com homepage frequently. If you are an author, independent recorded artist, or have a great idea for your own show on Artist First, we'd love to hear from you. Simply follow the links provided at artistfirst.com and we'll take good care of you. On the homepage, you'll find a list of guests coming on Authors First with Tony Kay. That's me. And tonight we have a lovely guest joining us, an author of an interesting book, Thrive, Don't Just Survive. Shirley Ware joining us this hour. Her book, Deported, available. Wrong author. Allie Beeman joining us. We'll have Shirley on later on. Deported is a book by Strategic Books. Ron Chepsik, a great guy. So stay tuned for that show coming up later on. But right now, Allie Beeman, B-E-I-M-A-N, Thrive, Don't Just Survive, and the website thrivedontjustsurvive.com on the artistfirst.com homepage. Questions or comments during the show, don't send them to me. Send them to Allie Beeman. Let's give a warm Artist First welcome to our guest. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing absolutely wonderful, Tony. And my name is Bierman. It's B-I-E-R-M-A-N.
Oh, good for you. Thanks for helping me out there. We have so many wonderful guests on Artist First, and I get the wonderful privilege of butchering their names. So thank you for your patience and allowing me to do so for you and for supporting the arts of being our guest. You know, we love introducing our worldwide audience to new authors such as yourself. How did you get started with this project and this book, Thrive, Don't Just Survive?
Well, this particular book was a result. I have grown through two traumatic brain injuries. And when I was healing from the most recent one that left some nerve damage, my physical therapist and my speech and swallow therapist said, you really ought to write a book because your healing is motivating to other people. It would help our patients and lots of other people. So I did that. I wrote about my experience, but the most important part of my experience is what I do with my life every day in spite of challenges. Everybody has challenges in their life, and what the feedback has told me is you don't have to have had a life-altering injury to want to be able to step out of the ordinary, to make your life great every minute, to thrive. Don't just survive.
Isn't it amazing?
In the course of all the feedback I was receiving, I realized this is not just my latest book. This is my life purpose. It's the reason I'm here, and I just want to change millions of lives. Suffering is a choice. Life might not be easy, but you can do what it takes to make the most of it.
Well, that's right. And it's amazing to me that how often it takes a tragedy for people to really respect and appreciate what they have.
Absolutely. And if you look at the great famous people in the world, most, if not all of them, actually had a very traumatic experience that kind of, it wakes you up and it lets you see how precious life is, what's really important in your life. You rearrange your priorities. And what I want anybody out there who's suffering from whether it's a physical or emotional issue to know is healing doesn't necessarily mean you get to be how you used to be. What it means is accepting yourself as you are now. Instead of looking at what you can't do anymore, look at what you can do and go on from there.
we've always lived with a certain level of limitation, opportunity, finance, circumstance. We just take that part of our life for granted. But when we realize, hey, a change needs to occur in our life, that more radical things need to occur.
Yes, absolutely. I am a very strong believer in metaphysics, and I practice metaphysics and how you create your reality. And what I learned and see so clearly from the first brain injury in 1996 and up through the most recent episode that happened at the end of 2011 is the universe is talking to us constantly. It's giving us hints. If you look at your life, you'll see the same kind of problems happen over and over again, but you tend to ignore them because when they first start, they're not big, awful things. But each time something with the same kind of theme arises, it gets bigger, more in your face until you get hit over your head with the proverbial 2x4. That's what happened to me, and I realized, oh my goodness, I just didn't see this coming and take care of it sooner. And now I don't have a whole lot of choice here to deal with it. And that's why it's so powerful, and that's why people can make their life changes, because it might be a life and death situation. It might be an emotional life and death situation.
Traumatic injuries can happen in a car accident, a surgery go bad. Sometimes you're holding the hand of the person going through the trauma. This book addresses all aspects of thriving under adverse circumstance.
Yes, I wrote it not just for people in the situation, but as you just said, for people who are caring for, who love, who want to help their family and friends through whatever they're going through. Because in my opinion, it's impossible to know what it's like to be the person whose life has been altered. And there are people who really, really want to help, and they need to have an idea of how to help. To say something like, you know, it'll get better in time, well, that's fine, but right now, accept the person exactly as they are and help them to become who they can be now. And it might not be convenient for you as the helper, but your love, your understanding, and your support is the most powerful healing agent of all.
Yeah, therapy can come in many forms. A happy smile, a visit, a task that you are able to do and enjoy.
Absolutely. That's one thing that I want people to get the message. Every single person has a gift and a talent, and you may not have discovered it yet. There's a reason you're here. There's something special that you have to contribute to the community of mankind. And like you said, it might be a smile that just lights up a room. It might be the only smile that someone you pass by has seen that day or that week or even longer. For somebody who is a shut-in, to have a visit, those things are priceless.
You know, when we have a event that is memorable in our lives, the birth of a child, a marriage, a union, a death of a loved one, an experience, a mountain climbed, a victory overcome, those high points, those moments we relish in and think about over time, when you go through a trauma, there are those moments of victory.
Yes, indeed, and to be able to seize upon them, what helped me to heal, because I came out of brain surgery, unable to swallow, unable to speak, I couldn't walk, I could barely move, and I discovered mean, this will sound very weird to people who haven't experienced it, but after working really hard and still having all those issues, I found myself very high, happy, like an exercise type high. And I thought, what the heck? This makes no sense. And then I realized, this is what true happiness is. Happiness has nothing to do with events. Happiness has to do with, wow, look what I can do. And I never had to think about this before, but wow. It's something like, I'm visiting my first grandchild right now, and I'm riding the subway in New York. I was walking down the steps to the subway. It's a big deal for me to be able to walk steps. I couldn't do it fast enough, and the subway left. And my first reaction was, I just started to cry and sigh, but I don't let myself be in the pain. I immediately turned it around. I said, wow, I'm so grateful to be able to walk the steps. And I just waited for the next train. And that's the difference in dwelling on what you can't do and in the pain. And what if you just looked at life and said, this is as it is. Okay, so what can I do that's going to move me forward now? I write gratitude lists a few times every day, and that's absolutely what keeps me going.
Fortunately, you did overcome and regain many of your faculties, and technology has been a big blessing in your life. I love your website. You're connected with Twitter and Facebook, and you have a fabulous book trailer, Thrive, Don't Just Survive.com. The website audience, be sure to go there right away. Thrive, Don't Just Survive.com. I know there's someone in your life right now that is struggling, rehabilitating, needing assistance. You're holding their hand. You need strength, and they need strength too, to see that with their new found way in the world, there are motivating and positive experiences that can come from all of it. Thrive, Don't Just Survive, by number one best-selling author Ali Bierman, B-I-E-R-M-A-N, inspires, encourages, and motivates people to create a new life following a life-changing trauma. And so you're going to enjoy the website, the book trailer, and of course the book. I recommend buying 10. I know there are 10 people you can bless with this book. Certainly it should be in doctors' offices and other places where it can be accessed, library. So get lots of copies, audience, and spread them around to people that you know who can benefit from this and put them in the right areas. Thank you, Ali, for supporting the arts, being my guest on Authors First. Tony Kaye in the studio. Questions or comments, send them to our guest. Simply follow the link. Get involved. You'll find a blog you can subscribe to and learn more, a media kit. I take it you also are available for public speaking then.
Yes, it's my favorite thing to do, which is interesting because truthfully, when I open my mouth, I'm never sure a sound is going to come out. But that's where I learned intention is everything. And when I know that people are waiting to hear what I am going to share with them, my voice comes out 100% of the time. And I also, you get to be very humble when you go through something like this and trusting. I always ask my audience to please send love and energy while I'm speaking, and my voice gets louder and stronger so that I'm able to actually fill a small room, which is something of a miracle in my eyes for me.
Well, that's right. You finally made big time. You've been on NBC, CNN, CBS, ABC, The Wall Street Journal, and finally big time right here on Authors First with Tony Kaye. Thank you for being with us. I tell you, it is exciting. We're glad we're in that category of journalism, and you're having a great time getting out there and spreading the message and receiving positive feedback from people.
Yes, it's what fuels my spirit. I feel very blessed and very grateful. I spend a lot of times with tears of gratitude because I'm so deeply moved when somebody tells me how something changed in their life because of something that I shared from my own experience. And when people go visit my website, you'll see that I'm not just a writer and a speaker. I also teach through my music and through my art. So you see, I call them subliminal paintings. Check out some of those. There are messages that you don't... I actually do tours of my paintings, so you can see all the hidden messages in the works. And my songs are the same way. And I have a really big project. A dozen people are collaborating with me that we're going to launch. Hopefully, it'll be all put together in November. And when you go to my site, you can sign up to be on the Thrive gift list. Every week, I give each person on that list some kind of gift. It's usually downloadable. You can print it out so that there's some step you can take every single week to change your life.
Hasn't the internet just been transformative in getting a message like this out? And the book cover, how involved were you from beginning to end in designing Thrive, Don't Just Survive?
I designed the whole cover. The only thing was I had a picture of a man, and I asked my graphics artist to please find a woman, and she did a great job.
What fun. Now, this has morphed or taken on a life of its own above and beyond a book. When you began writing it, did you have a vision of where this may end or how it might change your life and become what it is today?
I really didn't. I've known all my life since I was 5 years old that I like to help people. And I've been helping people in relationships. I used to be a psychotherapist in parenting, in how to be happy and how you create your reality. But this was like you were saying, oh my gosh, this is the reason I'm here. This is what I wake up every day and I can't wait to get going. Whose life am I going to change today? In fact, every single day when I meditate, I ask the universe to please allow me to powerfully impact, for the better, at least one life today. And I'm pretty sure that's happening.
You know, a life-altering trauma of any kind, if it's your child, your mom, if you're caring for them, a mate, or yourself, and if that's in your circle of existence, it has a tremendous impact on your mind, your sleeping habits, what you think about every day just becomes a preoccupation of life. Getting to the doctor, yes. Taking the right medication, are we doing the right thing, alternative medicines. It's a big topic. How did you decide to synthesize the material, and how is Thrive, Don't Just Survive, organized?
The first thing I did was I wrote about the events that actually happened for me. When I had the first brain trauma, I worked in crisis care. I had real dangerous clients there, and one of them cornered and attacked me. Now, this was all the way back in 1996, and I never told anybody exactly what happened because I thought, what's the point? All that matters is what I do to heal. The gift in that, oh, and that's what's so, so important when anything happens in your life. It's for your highest good, but you're not going to see the gift unless you look for it, because often those gifts are really, really well disguised as pain and even extremely painful events. So when the therapist asked me in the rehab center to share my experience, I decided I'm going to go back from the very beginning. And I knew it wasn't enough just to say this is what happened. I had to say this is a choice I made each step of the way, because I had a medical team with 16 people on it the first time. Most of them said there's nothing wrong. Well, that's because in their paradigm, they didn't know which test to run so they could see where the brain damage was. And then some of them said, it's all in your head, which, especially if you're a woman, doctors will frequently say, go see a talk therapist. But you know yourself, and you need to trust yourself, and you need to have faith in the universe, in God, in whatever word, whatever it is you believe, that higher power is taking care of you and letting you know how to take care of yourself. It's not like you just wish and hope, but you're getting messages. And when you learn to recognize them, take the action that's divinely inspired. It's not an accident that I met somebody after the first injury who knew about magnets, because I had learned in a brain injury support group, magnets help the brain heal. And from there, I met other people in other modalities. I actually became a specialized kinesiologist, which is a complementary healthcare skill modality, because I wanted to help people who were told by their doctors, not because the doctors were being mean, just because they didn't know, who were saying, as they told me, this is as good as it gets, learn to live with it. And you know what? That wasn't acceptable to me. And I made the decision then and again in 2011 to do whatever it takes. And I want to really acknowledge and congratulate the people I call the unsung heroes. They're people who are working really hard every day, just as I do, to appear normal. So we're putting out a whole lot of extra energy just to be able to walk around or to talk or to do things that other people take for granted. And you have to make that choice. Nobody can make it for you. When I learned how to heal my body, mind, and spirit, I asked the other people in the support group if they wanted help. I knew what I had done. Not one person said yes. I went to the doctor in charge of my case. I said, I can help your patients. And he wrote in my records, in my file, miracle. All he said was, I know I didn't do it. I don't know what happened. It's a miracle. So I found that really frustrating. It was important to me to get the word out as much as I could. And that's why I included so much information in my book so people see, oh, wow, look at all these different things that I can try. And those are just the things I use in my own practice. There are a lot of people out there helping healing when the straight medical community can't, because they just don't know these methods.
You know, it's a practice, relearning, teaching yourself, challenging. You know, we often say, well, I'll never forget how to ride a bicycle. But you could. You could forget the motor skills necessary to ride a bicycle. And it could be a long haul to get back that motor skill. And perhaps absolutely, never to the level you had previously, but nonetheless beneficial to the entire body to make the attempt.
I'm really glad you said that, because that's one thing I can't do yet. I don't have the balance. I cannot balance to ride a bicycle. And I also recognized in the physical therapy, it was their job to get me walking, talking, and swallowing. How well I did each of them, that wasn't their job. Their job was to get me to a point so that I could continue from there. When I dropped something and the wind was going to blow away one day, I tried to run and I realized, oh my gosh, I can't run. I don't know how to run. And I asked the therapist to teach me, and she said, I don't know how. So I've been teaching myself for the last 2 years, how to jog, how to run, how to jump, how to leap, how to hop, how to skip. And that's because I make the choice to do that. And often people look to the medical community like they're gods. And if they can't do it, then it can't be done. That's the learn to live with it thing. But it can be done if you believe it can be done. And it won't look like it used to look. I think I probably look really funny. I think if somebody made a video of me exercising, it would bring a lot of laughter to a lot of lives.
I'd love to see that.
The way I can do it.
I would. I'd love to see that. And then you put it on YouTube, okay? And mm-hmm. we'll attach it to your Artist First archive. Put it up on your website. It'll be a hoot. I like the book cover because you've got the young lady jumping for joy, her knees bent, her legs up, and the fireworks in the background because there is victory. And, you know, often it's not that big of a deal for most people, but for you, it is fireworks, celebration, and the most important thing ever. So thank you for putting out an encouraging word, creating a best-selling book, a book that I think is useful for others to be coaches, to be motivating, and to come up with new ideas. If you're a health professional and you're working in a department, physical therapy department and so forth, you know, it gets after a few years, you begin to struggle, okay, with creative ideas and ways to reach and think as a therapist and as a physical therapist or a mental or inspirational therapist. And so thank you for putting together great ideas and making a book that anyone could pick up and read and benefit from.
Yeah, and thank you so much for this opportunity to spread the message. One of my friends who's also one of my followers said, and she has no health issues at all, she says she uses my book every day in her own life because the advice is helpful for her. And I know when I was in the physical therapy, we didn't realize, the neurosurgeon didn't want to tell me some things because he was hoping that the nerves would have regenerated. But they didn't yet. I still believe it will happen. I never give up. But she was working with me, and I'm right-handed, but I can't do much with my right arm. And she tried so hard, and one day she said, I just can't do anymore. There's no point in coming to see me. That's when the neurosurgeon told me, yeah, the nerves that control the muscles you need aren't there anymore. So that could be real helpful for physical therapists to know where they can help and what they need to show somebody to do differently because maybe those nerves and the muscles you need aren't going to work again. Let's see if we can help you find a different way to do it.
There's no doubt you have to be proactive with your own health. They're workers. They're following a script. You know, this is the routine. If it's this patient and this is the beginning, then you do this for them, and later on you do that, and then the next person comes in. You see, and as you said, it's not really designed to be an individual coach. You know, I'm going to be with you all the way through, holding your hand. We're gonna, you know, this may take a decade. Well, they don't have that time, but you do. You can do it. You can take a decade.
Yes, and I look to my friends who had major, major health issues, and also to the book by Dr. Jill Bolt Taylor, Stroke of Insight. Who's a brain researcher who had a stroke, and she knew it was happening, and she was able to retain all the sequencing information. And when I read her book, that was a huge inspiration because it took her 8 years to recover, and now she's known as a singing scientist, and she goes around speaking and singing just like I sing to teach. So look out there. There are people to inspire you, and don't be afraid to reach out to them. You can contact me on my website. I will respond. I'm here to make a difference for you. It's about community. We're all here to participate, and that includes everybody, regardless of what you think about your worth. I've had so many people say they started to complain about something in their lives, and then they thought of what I go through, and they said, but that's nothing. I have no right to complain. Well, you know what? If it bothers you, you need to do something about it. It's okay to complain, to let somebody know about it. It doesn't do me any good if all you're going to do is complain. But it's okay. Don't compare yourself to anybody else. You are a unique person. You have unique gifts and talents. And I think so many of us, even into our 50s and 60s, aren't aware of those talents because we don't go looking for them. Look for them, you'll find them, but you'll only find them when you look for them.
Well, and then once you do celebrate that, remember it. I think often it's too easy to move on and away from a positive thing that could be nurtured, developed, and strengthened.
Yes, and I'm so glad you mentioned that word twice, to celebrate. It's really important to celebrate each step, because maybe to somebody else not going through whatever it is that you are doesn't see it as a big deal, but shoot, I have a big celebration when I do something like the thing I related earlier about being on the steps in the subway. I put that up on Facebook. That was a big, so I celebrate every little thing. I can swallow a capsule now. I couldn't do that for almost 3 years, and I have to do certain things to be able to do it. But holy mackerel, I couldn't swallow anything at first. It's a celebration. It's a celebration of life. It's a celebration of, wow, I can live life full out. I don't have to be limited. Okay, my body looks like it's limited, but my experience of life, no way am I going to let that be limited.
You know, there's two ways to approach it. You wake up, you find yourself in a situation that is deplorable, and you say, I give up. I'm done. I'm finished. Throw in the towel. Or you fight it out. And I think it's human nature. We want to fight it out. Isn't that correct?
I think it is. Yeah.
We want to fight. We want to have victory over whatever it is that has gotten us down, and that makes us better people.
Well, certainly happier people.
Yeah, well, yes. So, I mean better in the sense that we know what is important. And people who have trauma, it really narrows down to, hey, today was a good day, or this was a good hour. And I just think it's fabulous that you've written this book, that you're the queen of overcoming, that you show that there is power and strength and a way to focus your mind on things that will achieve positive results.
I spend a lot of time studying the brain and the mind. In fact, one of my books is on the bestseller list for 16 months, and it's actually called What You Don't Know You Don't Know That Keeps You Stuck. Getting a little mixed up. What you don't know how your brain and mind keep you stuck. Because if there's something wrong in my life, I don't give up. I study it, and I study it, and I look for help everywhere I can think of, and I get creative in looking for help. Because as you just said, I'm not going to give in. Some people do. I'll tell you what, a traumatic brain injury is a fantastic excuse for getting out of taking responsibility for all kinds of things. And you can let that happen. I know for me, I get dizzy very easily. It's pretty common with people with brain injuries. You get dizzy, you get exhausted. I've learned to function when the whole room is spinning. It doesn't feel good, but I'm not going to sit around and do nothing. I'm going to do whatever it takes to be present and to move forward. Do something. Do something every day, even if it's just a small step, literally a step. But I'm going to move forward every day. And if you have any kind of limitations, physical limitations, what is it that you want to do? You don't have to go all the way the first day. Take a tiny step. Just do something that's new for you and celebrate it. If every little thing is a celebration, not just the things that in other people's eyes are big, but every little thing that you do that you couldn't do yesterday, that's incredible.
It really is. It's motivating, you know, and it's something that others will appreciate, your enthusiasm. And now the book, is it laid out in a way that it's easy to read? Because many who have trauma, physical trauma in their life, have difficulty reading or have difficulties with staying in tune a long time. You know, their attention span is shortened. How did you address those types of concerns in your book? Is it easy to read? Is it easy to maneuver?
I'm really, really glad you brought that up. After I launched the book, and it, right now it's available only in print versions, and I am, as I said, I'm working on a really big project I'm hoping to launch soon. I'll be making the audiobook then. I'm also going to introduce a course to go through it with people because, oh, for sure, when you have a traumatic brain injury, reading can be really hard. People even without a brain injury, to be able to focus for longer than 20 minutes, it can be challenging. So, and for me, I had a lot of trouble reading, especially after the first injury. I couldn't use my eyes for about 17 months. So if I read a page a day, you know what? I still finish books. So do what you can, and the audio book, if it's not out by the end of the year, I expect it out along with the course to go through it by January at the latest. Because, yes, absolutely, I want to reach people where they are. And I don't want to give anybody the impression that I don't have moments where I feel down, that I don't have days, right? I remember one morning I woke up, and I was so upset. And I said, why? Why did this have to happen to me? And I communicate with the universe. I don't hear voices. I get feelings and my guides and my angels. And everybody can do that. And I got a very clear message back. Look at your talents. So all my life, I could write. I could sing. I could make up songs. I could paint. I could speak. And it was like, oh, it was preparing me for what was happening now so that I can create the way to help people in whichever modality is going to work for them. And I thought, wow, this has been planned all my life.
Isn't it fabulous? Sometimes the way things can all finally come together, and you say, boy, why didn't that happen without the two traumatic brain injuries? You know, why couldn't everything have come together before that? But yet, would it have been? It would not have been focused or targeted on doing the type of good you're able to do because of this book and this project, your CDs, your DVDs, paintings, cards, talks, classes. It has morphed into a whole career for you and an ability to bless other people with your experiences. Thrive, don't just survive.com. As I mentioned earlier in the broadcast, buy 10 great gifts, birthdays, holidays, Christmas. This is October 2014. Get involved with the blog. Learn. If you're a nurse, practicing physician, looking for ways to connect and offer good advice to your clients that's comes from experience that they can benefit from, certainly this book, Thrive, Don't Survive, will just fill your head with lots of great ideas to be a blessing and to be a gift to those you work with every day. How long did it take you to put this book together with two traumatic brain injuries? Was it a challenge to write the book? And were you able to use computer technology or programs to assist?
Actually, the way to create anything is I tell the universe what I want to do, and I let the universe handle the how. For people who follow things like the law of attraction or creating your reality, it's your conscious mind can do the what, and the what was I wanted to write the book, but the universe, the subconscious mind, the connection is what makes it happen. Like Deepak Chopra says, God writes the books and I collect the royalties. So I put the information out. I want to write a book talking about my injuries and what I do to be able to move my life forward and help others do the same. So I think it probably took about 3 weeks for it to come to me. But when it comes to me, I sit down and it's just right there. I never have to stop and think, not when I write, not when I write a song, not when I paint. It's always right there, which is a gift that I can tune in that way. I don't think it's special to me. I think it happens to each of us. It's a matter of cultivating it, learning how to do it. And that's something I love to teach people how to do. It's another course I'll be teaching in the new year. But writing the book was a challenge. For one thing, I became dyslexic when I had that first brain injury. So I have to be able to read what I type, and that doesn't always work. Some of the words I can't figure out what they're supposed to be. I do have a voice program that's supposed to type what you're saying, but I think it's because my speech, especially when I wrote it, was not really dependable. It was far more work for me to edit what I had spoken than to just write it. So what actually took me the longest time was the formatting of the book. So I can write a book really fast. I don't think it ever takes me longer than 3 weeks to write a book at the longest. But I do spend a lot of time formatting because that takes very intense focus, at least it does for me.
Well, how many books are there? I'm just familiar with Thrive, Don't Just Survive. Are there others?
Right now I have 11 books on Amazon, but I've written about 60, and it's taken me a while to prepare them for publication just because I'm focusing so much of my time on the Thrive. So I think eventually I'll get them all up there because there are a lot of books on happiness. I have very many books for children. And everything I do, there's always a message behind. It's so like read between the lines. When you look at my painting, yeah, you'll see one thing, but let me tell you what to look for also. It's my gift. It's what I do. It's how I cope in the world. I remember the very first day, the very first words I learned how to spell. I was 6 years old, and I've been writing ever since.
Subliminal painting, something that you thrive in. That's the way you describe your painting. Is there a process then of meditation, or are you focusing on something specific when you receive your subliminal concepts for painting?
Just as I explained with the writing the books, I'll do a painting on a theme. Like I did a Thrive painting. I had a very big book launch, and somebody won the painting. So I have an idea where I'm going, but I let the universe show me how to put all the subliminal stuff in.
Wow.
So I usually, these days I'm focusing on a word. Like I do a lot on the word calm. Or the word love, because I want it, when it's hanging in a person's home, I want it to create a certain mood that's helping them with their not even having to pay attention to it.
Every artist has a way of tapping into those energies. Is there an environment, a location for you, an office, a room, a place, or does it differ from your mood and from the type of material you're working on?
That's a great question. Many years ago, I noticed I have to be in the mood to create something. Not sure I can explain it. If I sit down to do a painting and the universe hasn't given it to me, I'm not in the mood, and I could just look at the canvas, nothing's going to happen that's worthwhile. same thing with a book or a song. But when I'm ready, I believe everything happens perfectly and in perfect timing. When I'm ready, the universe just delivers. And I meditate, and I ask for things before my meditation, before I go to sleep at night. I can't tell you how many books I wrote at 2 or 3 in the morning, because that's when the answers came.
What about astrology and knowing the cycles of the universe and where your place, where you were born and so forth? Are those playing a role, you think, in the type of creative work you're involved with?
For sure. I thought that was a bunch of Nazi stuff. And then I had someone do an astrological reading, a Kabbalistical astrological reading for me, and it was, oh my gosh, I think this person followed me around my entire life. She was so accurate with everything I think and do and always have. So it's not like I could do that for somebody else, but it is part of my practice. When I work with somebody, we each come here to learn certain lessons, and the way I work, I can tell what the patterns are that people are creating for themselves. So I know what vulnerabilities they have to illness, to injury, to emotional issues. And I always check that against what their astrological sign is. And 100% of the time it matches. So yes, I believe it. And it makes sense when you think about just the moon and how it influences a woman in her cycle. Why wouldn't all the planetary alignments impact us?
Allie, I know that you speak for groups and teach classes and so forth. Are you available then as a life coach via the internet or by phone or Skype? Do you communicate with a broader worldwide audience in addition to your own local area?
Yes. I can do it either by phone or by Skype, depending upon what a person needs. And you can just contact me through my website, and we can talk.
ThriveDon'tJustSurvive.com, the website. If you're looking for a life coach, some words of advice, wisdom, certainly a good book to help you recover from your traumatic experience, or if you're just working with someone, a spouse, a loved one, or a health professional, this is certainly a companion that will stimulate your mind and give you lots of options to try on the person that you're working with. And so it's not just for those who've had a trauma, but for those who work with others who've had trauma. And you won't be disappointed. This is a page turner. It has a compelling story from our author and her two experiences, then leading to the necessary steps to rehabilitate and to grow from those experiences. Ali, thanks for joining us this hour. It's gone by so rapidly. Before I let you go, any concluding remarks for our audience or anyone out there on planet Earth you'd like to say hello to?
I want to say hello to my family, to my friends who have always supported me. Without your love and your sharing and being there for me, I couldn't have come to where I am now. And I also wanted people to realize, the feedback tells me this book is for everybody. If you feel like you're not good enough, you're not pretty enough, you're not smart enough, you have nothing to offer the world, this book is for you too.